The Lord is risen. Are we glad for that? Does that mean something to us? Is it just something that we, it's Easter morning. Yeah, it's commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we go on with our life. Brothers and sisters, the resurrection means a whole lot more than that. We're going to spend some time looking at some scriptures this morning that are related to the resurrection, and then a little bit later in the message, look at what it means for us. Brother Julian already read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but I'm going to read some more. I'm going to read it again and read some more and what he had shared. I was going to start at verse 1. And I would like to read from verse 1 on, but for the sake of time, after I got done with getting my notes together, I noticed that I had quite a span of scriptures. And I started counting down over it, and I said to Mary, do you think I have time to read 120 verses this morning? And she was a little bit skeptical of that, so I tried to trim some down, but we'll begin reading at verse 12 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You know, it was mentioned earlier today of, death being the lot of all mankind. And we know that. So we go through life, we have friends, we have relatives, we have acquaintances that die. Some of them are young, some are middle-aged, some are older. But it happens. And when it happens, we have the realization that that is our lot. This body is going to die. Only Christ rose from the dead by his own power. There were others that were raised to life. In the Old Testament, some of the prophets, some of the judges raised individuals to life. In the New Testament, we have Christ, we have the apostles raising individuals to life. But they were all raised from the dead in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the only one that rose from the dead by his own power. He says in John chapter 10 that he gave his life for the sheep. And the Father loves him because he's given his life for the sheep. And he says, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. And that this power was given unto him by God the Father. So we understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a totally different scope of happening than the resurrection of, say, the young man that was being carried out of the city and his widowed mother was walking beside the bier weeping. And Jesus said, young man, arise. That resurrection was by the power of Jesus Christ. The little girl that had died And they were mourning her death, and he walks in and he says, "Don't weep, she's only sleeping," and they laughed at him. And then he goes into the room and he says, "Maid, arise." There's many different accounts of individuals rising from the dead, but only Jesus Christ rose under his own power. You know, and Paul here talking about the situation that we would be in, the condemnation that we would be under, the hopeless situation that we would be in if Christ had not risen. He says, our preaching would be vain and your faith would be vain. You'd have nothing to believe in if Christ were still dead, if Christ were still buried in the tomb, if his bones were still laying there. Our religion would have no more power than any other supposed religion in the world today whose prophet or teacher is dead and gone. But he says there in verse 20, but now is Christ risen. Brothers and sisters, let those words speak to your heart this morning, to realize that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is something that gives us hope. It is something that gives us life. It is something, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the channel whereby we can be raised from not only sinful death, but from eternal death. We can be given life through Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Let's look at some of the happenings around the resurrection. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And this is after Jesus' death. He was buried. And Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 says, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, now this is the day after the crucifixion, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. They wanted to be sure that Jesus stays in the tomb. What they didn't reckon with was the power of God. In chapter 28, chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came to roll back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Where was this powerful watch and guard now? In the presence of the power of God and the power of Jesus Christ and the resurrection, they became as dead men. And then they went, in verse 11, they went into the city and told the chief priests what had happened. And the chief priests did not want that story getting out. And they said, you say that while we slept, the disciples came and stole him away. You know, brothers and sisters, this morning, if the resurrection of Jesus Christ were not important, these happenings would not have taken place. Mankind is still today trying to deny the lordship of Jesus Christ. They're trying to deny who he was. They're trying to deny what he was. And they're trying to deny the power of the resurrection. But you and I today can know that power. We can experience that power through the acceptance of the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary to wash away our sins, to clean us, and then the resurrection power to lift us from the depths of sin to an eternal life. Brothers and sisters, this morning, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is something that we should hold very dear to our hearts. Begin reading again at Matthew 28, verse 5. And the angel answered unto the and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, and with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go unto Galilee, and there shall they see me." Here the angel that brought fear it almost seems like these men passed out because of fear. They collapsed. Those same angels spoke kindly to the women, telling them that Jesus is not here. He is risen. And I don't know what my response or what your response would have been if you'd have walked up to that tomb that morning, expecting to find the stone there in front of the opening. It says that these women, in other gospel, it tells us that these women were bearing spices to anoint the body of Jesus. And they were wondering who's going to roll the stone away. I don't know if they weren't aware of the guards or not, and that the stone was sealed. But when they get there, and they may have felt or heard the earthquake. I don't know how far spread that earthquake was. It says a great earthquake, so apparently it was not just real localized. But as they came up to the tomb, they realized that the stone was rolled away. The tomb was open. And there's two men. I don't know if they recognized them as angels right away or not, but there's two men sitting there. What would be going through your mind and my mind? I don't know if the men, if the soldiers, the guards were still there or not. But if they were laying on the ground yet, it would be more of a, what's going on here? What happened? But the angel speaks to them. And he says, "Fear not ye." Don't be afraid. Don't let this confuse you. Don't let this confound you. Don't let this be a question in your mind. "For I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." I know who you're looking for. I know why you're here. I know your desires. I know your dedication. I know why you came. He says, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." Remember, he said he's going to rise again. He talked about the temple, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it up again. I will raise it up again. And he talked about going for a little while and then coming back and then going again. He talked about the death that he would die. Remember those things. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we didn't physically see that empty tomb. We didn't walk up there and see that tomb, and we're going to look a little bit later at some other people that saw the empty tomb, but we didn't see that with our own eyes. But by the eye of faith, brothers and sisters, we can see it. We can grasp that vision of the empty tomb. And then later here, as they were going, Jesus appears to them. We can grasp the vision of our risen Lord. And we have the same commission from God as what these women had. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. And that means those who believed on him. And I think this morning we have the opportunity, we have the responsibility to speak of the risen Lord. There's many churches, and I don't know, maybe I shouldn't even be saying this, but there's many churches that have the cross somewhere on their building, and they have a picture of Christ on the cross. And I can understand we need to have that memory in our mind that Christ died for us, he shed his blood. The grief, the suffering he went through for doing that for us. But brothers and sisters, this morning, Christ is not on the cross. And Christ is not in the tomb. But Christ is risen. And he is ascended, and he's sitting at the right hand of God interceding for you and I. Can we get that picture in our minds of our Lord, our Savior? The tomb is empty this morning. What a blessing that is for us. Let's go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, begin reading at verse 1. The first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth with the other disciple and came to the sepulchre. And so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first unto the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first unto the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Interesting here that Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples, Peter and John specifically, that the tomb is empty. They've taken him away. I don't know, it seems like she had been there when the angels talked to them, but she may not have fully comprehended in her excitement and in her despair. She may not have fully comprehended what was happening. And she said, they took him away and we don't know where they put him. Well, that stirred Peter, of course, and John, and they went running, and John, being younger, outran Peter and got there first. And he stooped down and looked in, and yeah. There's the linen cloth that he was wrapped in, but the body's not there. then Peter come puffing up behind him, and he didn't even hesitate. He went right in. You know, bold Peter, he wasn't going to stop at the door. He was going to go in and look around what's happening here. And then he realized that, yes, the clothes, the grave clothes, are lying there. But then he noticed that the napkin that was wrapped around the head of Jesus at burial, and that was one of the things that they did, a special cloth that went around the head and face, wasn't laying there with the other grave clothes, but it was folded and laying off to the side. Now, if somebody would have gone in there rather quickly, like the soldiers said, while they were sleeping, they would not have taken time to unwrap the body of Jesus. They would not have taken time to fold up the napkin and lay it aside. They would have grabbed everything and out the opening as fast as they could go. And when John went in and he saw these things, it says, he saw and believed. Do we believe the testimony of the Word of God this morning? That Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? He's not there anymore. He's risen. And 50 days later, he ascended into heaven. That's where he's at. Continue reading there. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet of Jesus, of the body where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She says unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend to my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and to your God. This meeting here has always touched me. The dedication that Mary had, and she was the one of whom Jesus had cast out seven devils. She was an individual who knew the power of Jesus, who knew what Jesus can do, who had an experience in her life with Jesus Christ and had a dedication and a commitment to him. And when he was crucified and buried, she was there. And now at the resurrection, where's the body of my Lord? Where is he? What happened? And she's at the graveside weeping. And Jesus appears to her. And she didn't recognize him right away, probably in her grief, maybe even in, believing that he is dead and not grasping the reality of things yet. She tells him that, if you've taken him away, tell me where you put him. I'll come get him and I'll bury him somewhere. Can you imagine the distress and the heartfelt grief that Mary was going through? And then Jesus says her name. Brothers and sisters, the risen Lord is the only one that can reach out to those who are in grief and comfort their hearts. The dead prophets of the other religions are not able to do that. But Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, the risen Savior, can do that. And he's still doing that today. To those who have a relationship with him, to those who have confidence in him, to those who are experiencing grief and sorrow and suffering, Jesus is still reaching out and is saying their name. Jesus is there. He can be there because he is risen. We have the story of the two men on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. And I'm not going to take time to read that, but Jesus met them there as they were walking, and he joined himself to them and started walking with them. And he asked them a question, why are you so sad? What are these things that you're talking about? And they said, are you a stranger? Haven't you been around here? Concerning, what happened, Jesus here, he was a man of good deeds, and the chief priests and the governor took him and crucified him, and we had hoped that he was the Messiah, the promised one, and even on top of all this, then this is the third day, and there's some of our company came and told us that he rose from the dead. It happened so fast, I can't comprehend everything, they would say. And Jesus started right there. And he started talking to them about himself from the Old Testament, from Moses and the prophets. And we could go back. There's many scriptures that we could look at this morning that foretell the suffering and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they came to the village. And Jesus, I guess, kept on walking when the men got to the place where they were going to stay. And they said, it's dark, it's late, come in, stay with us. And as they sat down, he took bread and broke it and blessed it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were open. And Jesus disappeared. But they sat there and they talked to each other. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? As he talked with us, by the way, he was telling us things that we wanted to hear. He was telling us the marvels of Christ and how God had planned that he would come. And Jesus probably took the scriptures of a virgin birth, and he took the scriptures of being from Nazareth, and he took the scriptures of being called out of Egypt, and he took the scriptures of the brokenness of him and how everybody turned away because his visage was so marred that no man recognized him. And there's many scriptures that Jesus probably told them about, and they said yes, this it all made sense, but where's Jesus? They're saying he rose, but where is he? And then he reveals himself to them, and he says, this is marvelous. And they ran back to Jerusalem, and they came into the room where the disciples were gathered and others that were with them, and they told him about it. They told them about it. They said, we met Jesus. He walked with us by the way, and he talked with us, and he broke bread with us, and we came back to tell you of this. And I'm sure there was some that were, wondering, where is he now? Where is this Jesus? And then he was there. He appeared to them in that room. And they marveled, we're just seeing his spirit, his ghost. But Jesus says, no. He said, touch me. The spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see me have. And he says, bring something to eat. And he sat down and he ate before them. A spirit doesn't eat. He was proving to them, I am Jesus. I have risen from the dead. I'm not just some figment of your imagination or a vision or a dream. I am Jesus. But there was one man that wasn't there that day. Thomas. The disciple Thomas wasn't there. And when they saw him again, they said, "We've seen the Lord." And they were rejoicing, and they were happy. And Thomas says, "You know, I'm just not sure I believe this whole thing. Until I can really see him and touch him and feel him and put my fingers in the nail prints in his hand and put my hand in his side and feel the scar of the sword or the spear, I'm not going to believe. I need to see." And it says, a week later, they were gathered together again, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus appeared again. I don't know if anybody had seen him that whole week or not. I really don't know. But Jesus came again. And when he appeared in front of them, he looks at Thomas. He says, "Thomas, come here. Put your fingers in the nail prints in my hands. Put your hand in my side and feel that spear hole there." And we don't have any record that Thomas actually did that. But he made a confession there that every one of us needs to make, and that is, "My Lord and my God." We need to make that personal. Jesus kind of reprimanded Thomas a little bit. He said, "You know, because you believed, because you saw, you believed." He says, "Blessed are those who don't see and yet believe." And that's us today. We didn't see Jesus. We haven't met Jesus. We haven't had the opportunity to see those nail prints in his hands and the wound of the spear in his side. But we believe the testimony of those who have seen it. We have it here in the Word of God. We believe that testimony. And Jesus says, "Blessed are those who, even though they haven't seen, believe." Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to seeing those pierced hands and that pierced side. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus in heaven, meeting him there, and being able to see those hands and the feet and the side that were wounded and pierced for me. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Begin reading at verse 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Brothers and sisters, Paul is asking the question here, not only of the Colossians, but of us. He says, "If ye then be risen." Have you and I experienced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our lives? I believe all of us who have named the name of Jesus Christ, all of us who have become Christians and followers of Christ, would say, "Yes, we have risen with him." Paul says, if that's the case, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Brothers and sisters, we tend to, and I include myself in this, we tend to get so wrapped up in the things of here and now and the things of this earth that we forget to look at the eternal things and to look at heaven and to have that hope of eternal life with Jesus Christ. We forget to allow that to be our focus. And I've found in the times when I have been able to and willing to, and by the power of God have done that, laid aside these things, and got my focus on eternity, that the things of this life began to mean a lot less. They're not so important. The way I comb my hair, the way I dress, the way I speak, the way I eat and drink, the way I conduct myself, those all begin to take a different perspective as we look at eternity. And I pray this morning that we allow the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to truly change our life and perspective. Because outside of that, outside of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have no hope. Those individuals who do not believe on Jesus Christ and have allowed him to be Lord of their lives have no hope because they're outside of the blood and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I'd like to read a number of verses from Romans chapter 8, which I'm not going to do, but it talks there about the resurrection power and how that affects us, how it removes the condemnation of sin and gives us power to live and to become sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, of God, and heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, can you comprehend that? We're sons and daughters of God. That means we're brothers with Jesus Christ by adoption, and we are heirs together with him of the blessings of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, here the book is brought out. And John weeps because there's nobody found worthy to open the seals of the book and to read what is therein. And one of the elders said, "Weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." Dropping down to verse 8. Now let's read verse 6. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps of gold, and golden vials full of odors, which were the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard voices of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessed, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the one that is glorified. Jesus is the one that is lifted up. Jesus is the one that died. He's as the lamb that was slain. He's there. He's alive, but the marks of his, he looks like he was slain. And he has the power to take the book and to open it. This morning, when we get to heaven, we're going to be joining in that song. We're going to be praising God. We're going to be praising the Lamb. We're going to be singing his praises because he redeemed us. He's redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Doesn't matter what your background is, if you've been redeemed by Jesus Christ, you're going to be there around the throne. This morning, what does the resurrection mean to you? What does the resurrection do in your life? Is the resurrected Lord your Lord? Let's kneel for prayer.